Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 everyone.
Well, sorry for the technical difficulty, but we are here. We are doing our thing. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. We have so much to talk about. This NBA has been absolutely crazy. Crazy. We had an all-star game where absolutely positively no defense was played at all. We have Boogie Cousins moving over from the Sacramento Kings to the New Orleans Pelicans. We have just all types of crazy rigmarole going on. Lou Williams was just traded from the Lakers down to Houston, so they have yet another scorer in Houston. Magic Johnson has taken over in L.A. Just all kinds of crazy nonsense going on. So we have to get everyone absolutely involved. Again, this is PLR. This is the Cave Show. And we are coming to you live tonight from the Yard Cigar Bar. There is so much to get into tonight. It is absolutely insane. So I give first thanks to the Yard Cigar Bar for hosting us over here on Dobson and Elliott. Come on in. They're here until 11 o'clock. Online with us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Of course, got the host who's still floating on cloud nine because of her Patriots. Chambers, what's happening?
What up?
And then, of course, got my main man here, the one, the only, played pro ball, pro football, pro baseball, knows a lot about a lot. You can hear him every Saturday on NBC 1060 out here in Phoenix. Ed Smith, my brother, what's happening?
No, all good, man. Like you said, a lot going on.
Listen, we are not going to hesitate today. We have a lot to do and a little time to get to it. Yes, we are a very basketball-heavy one because football doesn't officially start again. The new season isn't until March 9th, so everything now is just speculation on who's going to do what. Things will get tighter as we get closer. Pitchers and catchers have reported. We got a couple games starting tomorrow. I know the D-backs get going tomorrow with the scrimmage up at Grand Canyon University. So that's getting going, so obviously we'll have more info on that. But what's hot right now, what's trending, what's got everyone going is the NBA – with all the things that are happening. First, I want to get started with this Russell Westbrook, KD thing. It was a simple alley-oop pass. Nothing has thawed. It was a pass in an all-star game that 192 points were scored by the winning team. Do you make anything of this KD, Russell, everything's happy, and everyone's singing Kumbaya again?
Absolutely nothing, PLR, because the thing about it is they had to interact on the basketball court. Where I paid more attention was how cold and icy they were off the court, doing warm-up, stuff like that. They did their best to try to stay away from each other, not look each other in the eye, not talk. They got out there on the court. Obviously, somebody had to pass the ball to somebody. And as you stated earlier, there wasn't a lick of defense. I could have scored 30 points out there in that All-Star game. So at one point, obviously, they exchanged little alley-oops. And like I said, you could still tell that it's still icy between the two of them. And, you know, it is what it is, and I don't think anything's going to change that anytime soon because the way Golden State's probably going to dominate OKC for a while, your boy's going to have hard feelings, and there's nothing that can be said to make him want to even acknowledge Kevin Durant at this time.
Chambers, you play ball. Is it really that big of a deal if two athletes don't get along?
You said, is it really a big deal?
Yeah, if two athletes don't like each other.
No, it happens all the time. I mean, like, yeah, you don't have to like each other, but, you know, you put that aside to play the game. But, you know, I played with people I don't necessarily like, but I need them to win, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I completely agree with that 100%. I mean, does it really matter? I mean, so much was made of this. Look, let's be honest about this, and I think we can put it to bed now because they finally played on the court in the same uniform for an exhibition game. In the big picture, who really cares if KD and Russ don't get along? I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, they're on two different teams now. should it really matter, Ed?
Absolutely not. And that, you know, you took the words out of my mouth. The fact that they're on different teams, you know, they don't have to like each other. And quite honestly, I don't want them to like each other. I like the strife between them, and I hope it carries on for a while, you know, selfishly, because, like I said, it gives us something to talk about. I, you know, and me, I root for Russell. I root for Westbrook in the sense that I hope to field some competitive teams to at least stick it into Durant and Golden State a little bit, you know, here and there, because, like I said, it'll be such a one-sided affair for a long time that, you know, after a while, nobody's even going to remember the fact that, you know, they were on the same team or had this beef, because, it's, like I said, when it all comes down to it, it's all about the hoop on the court.
Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's talking about this All-Star game, and maybe I just have no expectations, but I heard people complaining and griping about there was no defense played. It was terrible. And I know we've had the same talk about the NFL Pro Bowl that no one is really guys, I put this in a whole different perspective, and maybe this is why it doesn't bother me. This is an exhibition game. This is, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, well, 30 years ago or 25 years ago, Magic and Isaiah and Michael and Scotty, they took it so personal. And they, well, back then, teams were more equal. So I think you had guys that just didn't like guys also from other teams. You know, I remember Joe Dumars telling the story that he pointed to Grant Hill when he, in his first All-Star game, in one of Grant Hill's first All-Star games, and he pointed over to the Bulls and said, you know, we're playing with them today, but we still don't like them. So I think it's changed over the time. I mean, back in the day, a $2 million contract, a $6 million contract was a whole lot of money. You get $40,000, $50,000 extra for winning. That's a big deal. You're making $20 million a year, and not only is $30,000 a good weekend in Vegas for you, but GMs and owners now, they don't want their guys going all out and risk getting hurt anymore. Those days are long gone. And I think all the people that are clamoring for that to come back, they're clamoring for no reason. We are not going to see lockdown defense in an NBA All-Star game. We're not going to see lockdown hard tackles in the NFL Pro Bowl. It's just not going to happen. These guys are out there to put on an exhibition, a dunk show, a three-point shooting contest, and try to throw as many alley-oops as possible. Am I losing it with my expectations now being so low, or should they be raised, and should this be more competitive? Ed, I'll let you go first.
You know, I can agree. I can understand the, you know, nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to go all out. But I'm saying, just give me a little something. These dudes literally were just throwing the ball back and forth up the court, you know, exchanging dunks. I mean, even back in the day, what they would do was for the first three quarters, kind of lollygag it, and then everybody would kind of half sell out in the fourth quarter just to show some type of, you know, just respect for being in that situation, in that game. You know, like I said, I'm not looking for people out there, you know, blocking shots and all that kind of stuff. I'm just looking for somebody just to pretend like it's more than, you know, just a glamorized slam dunk contest. That's all.
Chambers?
I mean, I agree with both sides. I mean, you're still in the middle of the season. It's not like how football is where, you know, it's at the end of the season where nothing really matters. You know, this game is kind of like in the middle of the season. You guys still – they still got kind of stuff on the line. But it could have been a little bit better. I thought the whole weekend was pretty – I'm not going to say pathetic, but I didn't think it was very – I was not impressed with what I'm going to say. I just thought that the dunk contest, I was not impressed. I mean, it was okay, but I expected it to be way better. And so these are like real life, you know, this is like a real live game. They're not going to go 100%. It would be nice to see a competitive game, but I don't think we ever will.
I agree, to be honest with you. Now, the All-Star weekend itself, Saturday night, the three-point contest to me has taken over as the most exciting contest of the weekend. The dunk contest, from now on, again, maybe my expectations are low. I think it will always be hit or miss. The one thing I loved about the dunk contest before is you didn't get three tries. You got one attempt. And I think they should go back to the one attempt. Now, this is where I go old school. Michael, Dominique, Spud, they got one attempt. These guys get three attempts to get their best dunk, and if they don't, then they still get high points. See, I think if you missed all three of your dunks, you should get like a 4, you know, just for the attempt. You shouldn't get 7 because the degree of difficulty on the dunk was not good. That's just me. That's just personally how I feel. I don't think you should get credit or high scores to miss a dunk. Now, in saying that, everyone is saying they have to get the big guns out to dunk. Guys, I think those days are over. We're always going to have up-and-comers. But I do have an idea to spice it up a little bit. Why don't we have an NBA versus D-League dunk contest? Now, I know the NBA is going to gripe, because the last thing they want is a D-League guy to come up and beat them. But I think that that would be fun if they tried something different and had maybe D-League top three dunkers versus the NBA top three dunkers, and maybe do it as a team aspect or something of that nature. What do you guys think?
I like that idea.
Yeah, I definitely like that idea, because maybe that will make it a little bit more competitive. The dunk contest isn't the issue. They just need to do better. It just didn't look like they came prepared. I mean, I was just upset because I spent all my time watching this and I was not impressed by it. But I think that might be better, because I guarantee you those D-League players are going to take it serious and they're going to come out there with some crazy stuff, because they're going to want to prove that they're, you know, good enough to be in the NBA, because that's ultimately where they want to be.
Well, I'll ask both of you, what do you guys think about the addition of all these props and stuff now? Granted, at this stage of the game, there's only so many ways you can dunk a ball, and probably not many that we haven't seen other than jumping over something or something like that. But now you're getting drones and stuff like that involved. And, you know, jump the shark as far as the dunk contest?
I mean, honestly, it helps, because what can you do? Like, there's only so many times that you can turn around and put it between your legs and slam it in. Back, turn around from your back and slam it in. Through your legs and one hand and slam it in. I mean, how many times are we going to see that? Like, what else can we see? They got to make it more interesting. With the times and how times are progressing and how everything is becoming, you know, more digitized and stuff, this is like the next thing. Like, you know, you see like the futuristic, you know, football players and what they're going to look like and what kind of uniforms they're going to have. This stuff is coming. So this is almost like the door is opening. You got to think we're evolving. So, you know, to me, it's fun to see these things. Like, this makes it more exciting, because when it boils down to it, you know, if they didn't have that stuff, think about what we would have been watching.
Okay, so here's my thing with props. I don't mind props, certain props. And I think of it two different ways. One, if I'm an owner or a GM, I don't want my player jumping over cars, tables, and all that stuff. I don't want that, because when DeAndre Jordan is taking off over a table, I'm sitting there, if I'm Doc Rivers, like, oh, my God, dude. If you clip that and hurt your knee, our season is really cooked. So I think like that, too. Now, the drone I thought was pretty cool, but I thought he executed it in a boring fashion. Don't let the ball hit the ground. Catch it out the air and finish the dunk. Because if it hits the ground, it's just another bounce dunk. Now, here's what I think is missing in a dunk contest. Showman. Last year, the dunk contest was good, although the dunks were crazy by Levine and Gordon, but they were showmen. They got the crowd pumped up. They got people stand up. That was a lot different. This year, when Aaron Gordon dunks, he almost dunked like he dunked because he was supposed to be there. You know, the kid from the Suns, you know, Derrick Jones Jr., when he hit the first dunk, he's saying it's over, and there's the fans are up, and then all of a sudden, the fans died again. These are guys that can dunk, but they're not showmen. And I think that's what we're missing. When Vince Carter won that slam dunk contest, not only were the dunks incredible, he was a showman. And I don't know if you remember, but he hit every dunk on the first attempt with the exception of one. So that keeps the crowd going and in it. And I think the showmanship of it is what's missing now. Not necessarily the dunks. You do a dunk and you just kind of go, oh, that was great. You walk around and you go back and sit down. No one's excited with that. So I think you got to get the crowd more into it. So, but we'll see. There's like Chamber said, though, there's only so much you can do at this point. I mean, every dunk I think has been done, and I said that, then Vince Carter came and then said it again, and then someone else came and said it again, and then Zach LaVine came. So you just never know. I mean, dunking from the free throw line, putting the ball between your legs last year was quite impressive, to be perfectly honest with you. But we'll see. But here's what I say. Dunk contest next year, I want to see the Greek Freak in that slam dunk contest. That cat's Euro step lets him take off from the three-point line and dunk it. I want to see the Greek Freak. He is a freak of nature. So that's All-Star Weekend, and his All-Star Weekend was ending as the game was over, as they're interviewing Boogie Cousins. Someone leans over to Boogie Cousins, whispers in his ear, and he goes right into character and starts talking about how great of a city New Orleans is. Vlade Divac, guys, is a joke. He got Buddy Hield, a first-round pick that they might lose, a second-round pick, and some dudes. Notice I didn't say their names. He got some dudes, all guards, to come in and play for the best big man in NBA. What the hell happened, Ed, with this deal by Vlade?
Well, that's why Sacramento is Sacramento, man. You scratch your head over every move they've made. And, tell me if I'm wrong, but it was just like a week or so. I know they have to do all the coach speak and the GM speak and stuff like that, but they were claiming how Boogie was basically untouchable. They wanted him there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they go ahead and get rid of him for a song and a dance, not even getting anything back in return. And, you know, they've set themselves back probably, what, another 7, 8, 9, 10 years? You know,
yeah.
So Vlade Divac, I question his, you know, position a long time ago. This makes me utterly scratch my head and try to figure out who is writing those checks and what is he still doing in that position.
I think this was an owner trade. I really do. I think the owner thought about it and said, I don't know if we want to give him $209 million because we've yet to find a coach that can coach yet. That's honestly what I think happened, because Vlade, like you said, just 3 days ago said, we are not touching him. He is on this team. We're building around him. We're taking him into our new building. I think this was one of those where the owner came down and said, you know what, we're just not going to pay him $209 million. You fall on the sword. That's your job. And get what you can get. What people don't know, though, is this possibly could have been the best they can get, because Cousins were behind the scenes letting everyone know, if you trade for him, he will not resign with you the following year. He's not going to do it. He's going to test the open markets, and more than likely, if it's a city he doesn't want to be in, he's out. And that makes a trade real difficult when you're saying, we're going to trade you someone who's really good, but you're really technically only going to have him for a year and a half, and it's up to you to convince them to stay because their agents are saying they're not going to. That's where the business side of all this comes in, and it does have to make it a difficult trade to do.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think, I know with the deadline looming, if I got to go to 12:59 or 11:59 on the day of the deadline to see if I can get better, I think I hold out just a little longer. And, you know, and then if you – here's the thing. If you don't trade him, he's still under contract through 2018. You still have another year to figure this out. And, I think some of that goes to the fact that he has been so toxic there that they didn't want to deal with his personality anymore. But, you know, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face, in my opinion. Like I said, you could suffer through another, 30 games with Boogie and get him out of there either over the offseason or before next year's trade deadline, if you ask me. But – like I said, it's not my money.
So everyone in the NBA is going small, fast, three-point shooters. Pelicans are going big with two just incredibly talented big men. What are your thoughts on that?
Chambers, you want to jump on that one?
Well, honestly, I think that they just didn't have the opportunity to get the opportunity that was presented to them, and the way they could make their team better was to go big, and they got the best pick that way. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get lucky, and then you're like, okay, we got to go with it this way. You know what I mean?
You know what I think, though? Also, I think the fact that both of those big men can shoot threes, I know that's not their specialty, but they can both extend the court a little bit. That plays into it as well, because now, you know, you spread everybody out. These two can both take any big man off the dribble or hit from outside. Then now you got two dudes that can play with their backs to the basket. You know, who if you look at somebody else's rosters, who's going to be able to defend that? Now what New Orleans has to do, obviously they have to build the chemistry and everything, but they have to get some ball distributors and then figure out, you know, the pace of the offense and stuff like that. But they could prove a test for a lot of teams, especially in the East, because nobody's going to be able to match up with them, in my opinion.
Yeah. To piggyback off what you said, that's exactly it. But they got to be able to find, shooters, like, you know, those twos and, a point guard that's going to be able to match up with them. But that's what I'm saying. If they started out with the big guys, at least they know they got some easy points, you know, because the shooting is the hard part.
And the other thing one last thing, the other thing that I heard that I found interesting is that they have, you know, if you consider Boogie an A, and obviously, you know, you talk about they got two big men who are A's, they don't necessarily need another A in there in terms of this, you know, the distributors. They can find them a couple of B's, B pluses to fill around these two now. So now you're not looking, you know, you'd like to have the quote unquote big three, but if you get 2.5 or 2.75, you got something. You got something to start with there.
Well, they still have Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday is not a household name, but he's a household player because he's a very, very good player. Obviously, I have to be a little bit more of a ball distributor than a shooter, but I think that's something that he can handle. And honestly, I think they challenged for the 8th seed in the West this year before it's said and done. I mean, honestly, I think it'd be very exciting. I don't think they'd beat them, but how exciting would it be in the first round to get a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future when Golden State, who will have the number one seed, small, quick, fast 3-point shooters against two bigs in Boogie and Anthony Davis, who aren't always doing things that you think big men should be able to do. They're doing that, but they're also doing more. So I think that's going to be real interesting down the line. Want to touch on one other quick thing, Ed. I know you got to jump here in a second, but I got to ask you this real quick. A lot of people feel that this Boogie Cousins trade to New Orleans also was the jump off for the Lakers, considering that they, from everything I'm hearing, did not want to give up Brandon Ingram to get Boogie Cousins. Jim Buss said no. Mitch Kupchak said no. This morning, neither one of them are in charge at all. Jeannie Buss fired Mitch Kupchak, who's been with the Lakers for 31 years, and she told her brother, you need to go find yourself. The checks will still be coming in, but you are no longer making decisions. Magic is now in charge. He's running the show. Go ahead, and you can keep the corner office, though. We'll let you keep the corner office, but we're going to go ahead. You're going to hear some nailing and some screwdriver noise because we're going to build him a little bit bigger office right next door to yours.
Yeah, I think, you know, the writing was on the wall. As soon as they brought Magic into the room, and from all things that I've heard, he's been, like, building for this. And, you know, we know Magic's not a shy man. And he pretty much has probably been campaigning a little bit to Jeannie, letting her, you know, whispering her in her ear how he would do things if he was in the spot. And, you know, the only thing that kept, you know, happening from the other side, they just kept continuing to lose. They looked pathetic, haven't made no moves, no strategic, you know, plan to get any better. And after a certain point, you know, like, so once they got Magic in the door, it was literally just a matter of time that he was going to be taken over. I didn't think it was going to be this quick. I thought they would probably finish the season and then do, like, a transition. But obviously, Jeannie, you know, and maybe in your words, Paul, maybe the fact that they put up no resistance or no efforts to get Boogie in there when he might have been able to be had. You look at what, you know, New Orleans had to give up to get him, and Jeannie's probably sitting there thinking, wait a minute, we had that and more. This is something we could have built around, and you two jumps sat here, and she was probably like, yeah, I'm done. And, you know, Magic just sitting there whispering in the ear, girl, I told you. You need to go ahead and get rid of this buster. I'm trying to tell you.
Exactly. And you know what? You can't tell me if Boogie Cousins came to L.A. with Magic Johnson in charge. Magic Johnson, if you're under the age of 21, go ahead and hit mute right now. Magic Johnson wouldn't have pulled him aside and said, look at it, man. You know you're talented. You know we need you. But we're going to need you to act right. All that you know what? Did you pull it up? Pull it up in Sacramento. You have to cut that out. That's not happening. You have to have your ass here at practice, on the court, being professional at all times. Period. You know, and what is Boogie Cousins going to say to Magic Johnson? Well, you don't. Well, yeah, you do. You won 5 rings, but you don't know. Oh, wait, yeah, you did play for Pat Riley. Yeah, but you, oh, wait, you are a successful businessman. He couldn't say nothing other than, you know what, Magic, let's do it. That's all he could say to him.
That's it.
That's it. That's all he could say to him. But the part that gets me is she looked at her brother in the face and said, "Your ass has to go today." No, today. But sis, I want to. No. You're out today. Today. We've already got you. You know what? Stay here. We don't care. You're out today. Your number's been changed, so no one can call you. You're no longer with us on our Verizon plan. You over on that Metro, so you are gone. Take Mitch with you.
Do you think Jeannie did it herself, or she asked her new boyfriend Magic to go in there and take care of that?
You know what? They do stay kind of close, don't they? I'm just saying.
Here's my you remember you in high school and you broke up with a girl and she had a new man, and all of a sudden, you know, she wanted her jacket back or something like that. Where her, hey dude, you need to hand that back over. So, I'm thinking somehow, some way, Magic was probably boyfriend number two going to ask for her school, her class ring or something back.
You know what I'm saying? Look, Cookie ain't gonna put up with that nonsense. But Magic, Magic got the brother out the way. Magic got the longtime GM out the way. Magic done shut the door on Phil Jackson possibly coming back. They broke up. Jeannie cleaned all kinds of house. She got rid of a fiance, a brother, and a loyal employee all in the last 4 months. Jeannie's a bad woman.
Hey, now let me ask you a question. Do you think there's any way at all that Phil makes a glorious return down the line somewhere?
No. Okay. No. In fact, I say that because I heard Magic on Stephen A. Smith's show, and he was kidding around saying, you know, you can get Magic out of – I mean, you can get Phil out of New York for us. And Magic was that laughing, joking, but that, not happening. Now, Phil is crazy. Phil has lost his ever-loving mind. Phil is drawn off the deep end. Phil is trying to get rid of the only player that he has. And he won't even talk to a man-to-man to do it. Phil's crazy. The Knicks are going to suck for a long time. And Phil can't – look, Pat Riley, Phil one-up Pat Riley, and I know they have this rivalry and they really don't like each other. He one-up Pat when it comes to coaching. But Pat is destroying him in the game of being a general manager and a team president. It's not even close.
Absolutely.
It's not even close. But, yeah, no, like I said, it's going to take – Magic pull no punches. He says it's going to take 3 to 5 years. Hell, they got to get up to money that Timothy Mozgov contract that the bus Jimmy Bus signed. Timothy Mozgov, 4 years for $74 million, and Lou Aldang for what, $62 million? Oh my goodness! You know you have to fill those contracts out, but with those two cats, I just don't see it. And you know what? Byron Scott may have been right about D'Angelo Russell. He may have been right that he's not he doesn't like to put in the right amount of work to be as good. We'll see. But I'm not impressed right now. I'm not. Byron may have been right.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, listen, we got so much. I know next week we'll get into more basketball talk because the trade deadline is Thursday. And so there will be more to follow up on. We'll be doing a special trade show courtside with PLR on Friday night to wrap up all the trades that happened. So this ain't over. Because we got a lot of trades up. Like I said, right before we came on air, Lou Williams was traded down to Houston. Hey, guys, I do want to tell you one thing, though. You know how they played no defense in the All-Star game? James Harden was like, yes, I will not be called out for not playing defense. Because everybody doing it. James Harden smiled his butt off in Houston tonight saying, woo.
The
I got away with playing. No defense.
The three of us could have went out there and got us 25 apiece.
Oh, hey, and also, did someone tell Russell Westbrook, hey, you know, this game is in New Orleans. We're trying to get Anthony Davis off to be the MVP. Did someone share that memo with him?
Russ don't hear them. Russ don't look at memos, dog. Russ don't look at memos.
Well, look, y'all, I know this is a short show, but I'm glad y'all joined us. Hey, tell everyone where they can check you out at.
Hey, check me out, edsmithspeaks.com, and my Twitter is, my new Twitter handle and Instagram and all that is edsmithspeaks as well.
Oh,
yeah, make
timer. And then tell everyone about the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm starting a new show on 1060 KDUS. NBC Sports Radio will be kicking off the inaugural broadcast March 4th, which is a Saturday, every Saturday after that from 10 to 12 p.m. So come check us out.
There you go. There you go. Oh, guys, guess what? We got some guests booked to come on just to give you a heads up. Everybody knows Karina from 94.5 Cool. Spoke to her a couple weeks ago, bumped into her old friend of mine. She's been killing it on the music side in this valley. And she says she definitely wants to talk sports. So she is set to come on with us. And then also probably Friday, if his schedule allows, we're going to bring him back the champ, my man, Chucky Brown. If he has, you know, the availability, we're going to bring him back on Friday to talk these NBA trades with us. So a lot of good stuff coming up, So I'm really excited about what we have. And then we have some big changes, some schedule announcements. We're going to hold off on those right now, but we have some schedule announcements, changes that we're going to be making that's going to take us to a whole different stratosphere. So stay tuned for that. Chambers, how can everyone get a hold of you? I think we lost her. I think we lost Ms. Chambers. All right, my brother, listen, I appreciate you hanging with us as usual. And thank you. This basketball world is crazy. You know, we got a couple more days of it, so I'm sure we'll get in on that as well.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, my brother. I will talk to you later.
All right, Brother Paul.
All right, now. Well, y'all, that's going to just about wrap it for us. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. You know where you can find us, on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook fan page at The Sports Cave. And then you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. And don't forget to go to our website, sportscave.com, where you can keep up with us there. Great articles. Catch up on some shows that you may have missed. So until the next time, this has been PLR. Thank you to The Yard Cigar Bar for hosting us tonight. And of course, everyone was brought to you on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. This has been PLR. This is The Cave Show. So until next time, everyone have a good night. Be safe. Talk to you later. Bye. I am a giant. I am an eagle. Oh, I am a lion down in the jungle.